Listen, if I know you're all working.
Well, that's all right. Glad to spend the time with you.
All right. Well, I had asked if it was all right if I just take general shots. Can I just do that?
You so
you can take your own work? Because I don't want to, you know, I know you're working here. I mean, I'm not going to
get I thought you all were getting along
yes,
all
sir,
right, see? And
yes,
I had
I know
some, I had some
things to do. I understand
to
that.
Do. So, yep. But I'll talk
we
with you.
We took pictures of the cypress table and the coffee table.
That's great.
And the stump that
But
footstool,
I
mean.
But I couldn't have
and I told him this. Yeah, no.
No, that's right.
I
no,
told
we're
him
doing
the story
good.
About
no,
the footstool, how my footstool was second generation footstool. Yours
right.
was the first.
Right.
And
entertaining.
Then took
and
pictures
worth
of
yes, sir.
Your chair. And I think he's wrapped up with me, but he was going to talk to me a little later on Palm Log House.
Right.
And I was telling him about he ought to take a picture of your solid cypress shingle house.
Right.
So I'm going to run and make my
yes, sir.
Phone call.
No, very good.
I'll talk to you later.
All right, I'll be here.
I'll let you talk to Dad a while.
Okay.
All right. Now
all right, sir. Let me get my tripod. And let
all
me
right.
set up. And I know you're working, and I'd like to see you with some of your stuff here and your machine. So just let me go get my setup, and I'll
okay.
I'll be right back. If you'll let me just let me set my stuff down here for a minute. Okay. Yes, sir.
Newby Gun Creek, Pasquotank County, 1834.
This is, well, this is your scrapbook.
And these are newspaper. It's a newspaper scrapbook.
Excellent. Oh, the aerial machine invented in Paris. Yeah, you were saying.
And anyway, such as that.
Yeah,
is
right.
through it. And what's on the back of these things, God only knows.
That's right. All right.
But and that is probably the Washington Monument.
That, yeah, it looks like.
They probably had several choices to make or something
That's
like
right.
that. Anyway, I just thought
okay.
you'd like to see
Yeah,
this.
I'd like to copy this, but let me
yeah,
get you
right,
back with your
right,
people
right.
working there, and I'll just come right back to you. Yes, sir. When we were talking yesterday, you had said to me that you had first seen the men in Arcadia whittling out in front of your dad's feed store. Is that right?
Not just my dad's feed store. Every store.
Every store, huh?
Every store on every Saturday.
Huh.
There was somebody whittling, yes, every Saturday in front of, well, now, I know.
I know what you're saying, but it was in town all over. It wasn't just one place.
Right, right, all over town, right. At,
huh.
the, at where they had, you see, they had stables. I remember when there were stables in Arcadia.
Uh-huh.
Horse stables.
Yes, sir, I know what you're saying.
And there was, in fact, I remember when there was three owned by different people.
Well, now, today Arcadia is known as a rodeo town. Was that the way
right.
it was when you were
Well, it's
growing
been
up?
A cow town since the beginning.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. And somehow the rodeo got started there and caught on and keeps it going.
I remember reading in your book, too, about the whole thing about that the people living around here would cow hunt. And rather than have ranches, they didn't have ranches in that sense. They were just sort of, you know, cow hunting and, you know, it wasn't ranching in the same sense as it might be seen on TV or something like that. Far west.
People did what they call ran cattle.
Ran cattle. Mm-hmm.
Ran them. And there were cow houses between here in Arcadia. There was one over here at North Island. There's one at Eagle Island. And they would camp there. And they would have, and the cowboys would round up and hunt the cattle.
Mm-hmm.
And they would drive them in,
mm-hmm.
in herds. There was no, I remember when there was no fence, in mm-hmm. at least in South Florida.
Yes, sir.
Except around graveyards. All the fences was around graveyards.
Uh-huh.
And around my family's graveyard in Arcadia, there still is a steel fence left from those days.
Huh. Now, you said that there were these I'm sorry, I'm not paying attention here exactly right. At Eagle Point or Eagle Pine?
No.
It was
at Eagle Island.
Eagle Island, yeah.
At Eagle Island, there was a cowhouse.
A cowhouse. Now, are there still cowhouses standing, or are they all gone?
No. Everything is fenced up now. It's a different world.
It's a different world. But I mean, are those buildings still standing?
I couldn't say. Mm-hmm. I haven't been. It used to be to go to from Arcata to Fishing Creek. I went through the woods right here in a straight line. Roughly a straight line through the woods, and everybody went. A lot of people went by Eagle Island. There were roads all across the prairie here that people would just go in a straight line to where they wanted to go. To the best of them, as they could. They'd hit a creek, you know, somewhere, or a pond. They got to go around that. But there were dirt roads all over these, all over this prairie, all over South Park. And I do remember. Now there were brick roads, but there was no. I remember when there was no paved road. To skate, we'd get in front of something pretty early in my day. There was a few sidewalks just out in front of a building, and we'd go and get on one of them sidewalks to skate.
Now these cow houses, nobody owned them? They were just communal?
Oh, yeah, people owned them. People ran cattle. There were two families in Arcata called the Parkers and the Kings.
The Parkers and the Kings, yeah.
And the Parkers and the Kings. There was five or six Parker boys and five or six King boys. And they ran cattle from Arcata, 50 miles from here, clear to Lake Okeechobee.
Uh-huh.
And up until just recently, there was a house out in the edge of Lake Okeechobee called the Parker House. One of the Parker boys that had those cattle there. Now the Parker boys are gone. The King boys are gone. Likes Brothers of Tampa bought in. They buy land wherever they can buy land. Everybody that owned all this land, they sold it to to Likes. But between here and Arcata, there's the Likes. There's a lot of people. It's cattle all the way, but different people own it.
Uh-huh.
Likes owns to the county line yonder. Then from there on, I forget who all does own it.
Now you were.
But they were all cattle. They're all cattle people.
Huh. We're moving up here to take the different shots.
Did you get a picture of the fro?
Fro, sir?
Fro?
No, sir, I didn't even know what a fro is. I'm sorry.
You don't know what a fro is?
No, sir, I do not.
Well, there was a day when the dull as a fro was a saying that was as well known or better known than Coca-Cola is in the United States today.
Dull as a fro?
Dull as a fro was a saying. And I have a fro around here, and they use fros to split shingles. You see, that house over yonder is got covered with hand-split shingles.
Yes,
there ain't very many houses like that today. I don't know of another
yes,
one.
Sir.
I made every shingle over there, and I busted those shingles off of the bark with the fro. And I can show you the thing.
Yes, sir, I'd like to see it.
It's like, see it. Now or when?
Well,
whenever.
Yes, sir. Well, what I...
Before you get away. Okay.
Yes, sir. Because what I like to do is I still like to take a picture of the grounds and the workshops.
Yes, sir.
And then I was interested in that 1937 Popular Science Monthly leaflet that you gave me.
Yeah.
It showed you working with various tools, clearing out the center of a cypress knee.
Right.
And I had wanted to look at some of the older tools as well as your newer equipment, because I know when the electricity come in, you switched over to drills and this kind of thing from the different...
Oh, you better
believe. Yeah, sure, because of the time saving, no question about it.
Yeah.
But what I was interested in is I wanted to sort of show your very first tools up to the electric, stuff that you use now or whatever you might use.
Well, I just used a brace and bit from the first one.
Yeah.
And I put the knee between my legs like that and bored the hole.
Yeah. Well, I don't, you don't have to do anything like that, but
well,
I just like
can
to see the tools.
I mean,
okay. So it's that kind of thing, you know, I'm just trying to You know, Mr. Gaskin, I was just thinking, you know, you were telling me that you had had articles and things and advertisements in, like, you know, Field and Stream and stuff like that.
Yes, sir.
Did you, did National Geographic ever come out to talk to you?
I don't think we have ever done business with National Geographic. No way.
Uh-huh.
No, sir, I don't believe they've ever done an article.
Well, I know you've...
We've had a great many
yeah,
articles.
I know, yeah.
And many magazines.
Yes, sir, I know that.
But I don't believe National Geographic mm-hmm. ever did.
Did Life magazine ever do y'all?
No, Life didn't either.
I know for sure that, of course, local newspapers and...
Popular Science.
Popular Science.
Did. And let me get my wife to help remember.
All
what.
Right.
Now, we've had...
Do it now, but we'll... Cool,
that's all. Now, we've had the nicest magazine, DU, in Europe.
Oh.
They've done an article. We've had two or three... articles done by magazines in Europe.
Huh.
And we've, let me see, the different magazines in the United States that have done articles. Of course, that was Popular Science. That was, golly, I forget them, I tell you.
It's okay. Well, you certainly have had a lot of them. I mean, we were talking about this earlier, and so I know that there's been a great number of them.
There have been, through the years, a great many.
Yeah.
isn't that the devil? And newspapers from coast to coast.
Yeah.
Nearly all. Let's see, I don't know about the New York Times, but we've got... got clips. I can't remember all the names of these newspapers.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I knew that you had a lot of them, so you know, I'm just
two,
naming
two dadgum many.
Yeah, I know. So I was naming some
too
just
many.
To see what
Chicago
was happening.
Chicago Tribune, I think, and Cincinnati Enquirer, and anyway, I just don't remember.
My wife, she remembers a lot of that.
Yes, she did. Right. She's still in here.
Well, that's all right. So we'll all sit down with her and we'll get the tape recorder and we'll do it all.
Oh. Popular Mechanics, Popular Science Month.
One other
publication
yeah,
and
stuff. Articles.
No problem. Yeah, I just, it was just a random, I mean, it's not a random question because I do want to know, but I'm just saying that, you know, it's,
And the Tampa Tribune and the Miami Herald, they have been the, and all the newspapers, they have been, and the Palm Beach Post Times, they have all been good to us. We've had Fort Myers paper, right. Had one just recently in there.
Orlando Sentinel?
Yes.
Yeah.
All of those. And I would say the Jacksonville.
St. Peter's Times. We've got a whole full page in the St. Petersburg Times. I don't know.
Another magazine in Europe because some people brought one back here not long ago. I don't remember the name of it.
Florida Trend. Yeah, for sure.
I don't remember. I don't remember being in there. Might have been. You think so?
Excuse me just a minute, sir.
Yes, sir.
Could I?
Want me out of your way?
Please.
Huh?
Yeah. We're on the PM magazine television show, you're saying, yeah. Innovation of Mother Nature. But I never saw this before on a cypress tree. And this is what we call a cancer. And to me, it is sort of, I think it is a response that the tree gives to the loss of the water.
Well, do you know what? There's on the B branch, there's the branch.
Right? I know B branch.
And there's a real dry cypress tree. The reason I brought this up to you is that I cut this last winter. And it was bone. And I couldn't feel it. I couldn't get it off.
Well,
and
this one is
easy as pie. And this just unbelievable.
You didn't cook this?
Well, I cooked it as much as I could. I didn't have a kettle big enough to submerge it.
You could only cook half.
But I cut one end and then I'd peel.
Well, you can't do that.
You signed a church and call for me last time I was here. I bought one from you. You gave me your address. But it's the queen. This is the queen.
Okay. Live. Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
And you were on the Johnny Carson show here, I hear.
Oh, I heard about that. You heard about that too, did you?
Yeah.
Well, I tell you, boy, that's the best advertising I ever had. That's a pleasure.
I believe it.
It really is. It's worth a lot of money to us.
Yes, sir. People coming?
Oh, definitely.
How did you get him? Did they hear about you? Did you pitch them?
No, that's the way that came about. We had a book in that called Roadside America.
Talks about the things on the roadside of America like that.
Yeah.
And we are one of the seven wonders. You know,
on the roadside, that's right.
We're one of the seven wonders of roadside America. So,
Johnny, I guess, he did. He phoned the Roadside America people and says, after having seen their book, and says, who would you recommend in your book that might do well on my show? And the man said, me. So that's the way I got into that.
Was it fine?
Oh, definitely. Fine. It's great.
Well, you know,
good. Johnny's quite a boy. He's all right. If you remember it, I don't know what. I sort of hemmed and hawed.
I didn't see it.
Oh, you did?
They saw it. They saw it.
Mm-hmm. But anyway, but that Johnny, he's got stuff up there.
Well, 2 years ago is when I got my turkey call from you. And you were peeling back there, a stick, with a branch. So I started peeling, and we stayed here for a long time. And John Green, I'm sure a lot of people know that with you, so I didn't really think that you'd remember me. But I went back after peeling with you, and we went out and we cut some, and I wanted that one. And it just was a bear to clean up. Can you now boil
not
it?
Now. No, no, it's gone now.
It's gone.
But what you can do to that now is you can treat it, and I will do that. See, like this white piece is here?
Oh, yeah.
And weather it. And it'll be white all over. And then
some of this will peel off when it weathers.
Right. That will happen. But what entertains me about this is this right here.
Yeah.
In all my days and all the billions of cypress knees that I've seen, I have not ever, this is the first time I saw that.
Well, isn't it
lucky? And you see more of that on trees there, and you see it on trees all over.
Yeah.
And what I think is, it is a response of Mother Nature, of those trees suffering from the lack of water. Because the water is gone. You'll see, I showed you that picture.
That's right, 1951, for the high water mark.
Right. Mm-hmm. And you can go over there and look at that same place right now, and I think you should do that before you get away,
right?
Because it will impress on you what has happened better than what you've seen already.
Okay. What's next?
Yeah, well, I was just going to tell you that little cypress head is high and dry now. And I imagine it had a lot of water in the wintertime in the old days.
Uh-huh.
But some, anyway. No?
No. Condition of the state of Florida in the wintertime is no water, no rain,
mm-hmm.
bone dry.
Yeah.
And come spring, it would rain every day.
Yeah. And saturate every day.
Everything. And high water was, well, of course, the highest water would always occur in July, August, September, October, November, along in there.
Yeah. Well, that was a nice knee, and I wanted to work
all
on
right,
it.
All right, I'll go get you a turkey call. Right.
Will you autograph it?
Yes, sir.
We're right here at the museum still, and I want to talk to Tom about something here. Tom, remember when you said to me that you had made slingshots to pay for the property tax on that piece of property you had up in the Carolinas?
I did.
Okay, sir. The reason I'm mentioning that to you, bringing it up again, how many different things have you made? I mean, you know, slingshots, turkey calls, you've worked
well,
in Cypress.
Well, everybody had slingshots. Everybody made slingshots. It wasn't anything, but I did. I made them and sold them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember what I got, but the taxes were just nothing up there at that mm-hmm. time. And I did make, I got my money from making mm-hmm. and selling slingshots, and I do have at one or maybe two receipts for me sending money up to that land that was the last, so I'm told, was the last of an original grant in Elizabeth City, North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
My dad was born at Nag's Head.
Nag's Head?
Nag's Head, yes.
In North Carolina?
That's near, not far from Elizabeth City.
Elizabeth City. Mm-hmm. And you were born down here, though, in Florida.
I was born in Tampa.
Tampa, yeah.
Yes, sir. And I was raised in Arcadia, and all this that away was my backyard. All this area, you can look on a map between here and Arcadia, I've just meandered over all of that, all the way from through the woods.
Yeah, interesting.
I don't go that way no more. It's all fenced up and keep out and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Well, did you ever, now of course a slingshot is kind of like a boy's toy. Were there ever, did you ever make any other kind of wooden toys? Were there any toys that were made out of wood at that time?
Not that I recall. The only thing that we made were chains and the little cage with the ball rolling in the cage.
Yeah.
That was the main thing that was done.
Yeah, I saw here in the shop here, the store part of the setup here, that you have like a, it looks like a saw handle that has like a chain hanging from it, wooden chain. Did you do
that's
that?
No, I did not do that. That's in yonder.
Yes, sir.
I belong to the Wood Carvers Society.
Mm-hmm.
And they have held 4 meetings at the museum over there.
Which museum, sir?
The Cypress Knee Museum.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm a wood carver too, and I take 2 wood carver magazines.
Yes,
I showed you those.
That's
didn't
right,
I?
Correct. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And this place is centered is between Tampa and Miami. See, it's sort of centered, and between Naples and Orlando, it's sort of centered.
Uh-huh.
So people would come from all of those places here to show their wares and buy and sell wood carvings and meet other wood carvers.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, they this year they're not meeting here. They're going up north of here somewhere. I don't remember now
mm-hmm.
exactly where it's going to be this year, but it's they're all wood carvers, and there's all of a sudden there's thousands of them.
Yeah,
thousands of them over the United States.
Mm-hmm.
California, New York, Vermont, and so forth, everywhere.
Yeah,
it's just swept the country.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, in the group that comes over here and meets, or has met in the past, are those people who have been carving wood their whole life, or
I don't know. I couldn't answer that. They're. I don't know. I don't know how to.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
I don't know what to say.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't know what they do, see.
Yeah.
Except that here, they you know what I'm doing here.
Yes, sir. You're just whittling away there.
Yeah, but I'm making a striker for a turkey call.
Uh-huh. So this is the striker for the turkey call.
Right. And do this while I stand here and talk to you. This is easy, and I just that way I do two things at once.
Is there a listing of the members of the woodcarvers?
Oh, definite. It's a big, enormous thing over the United States.
I see, but I mean, you know, the guys that are local here, you're like local chapters.
Well, they're scattered. There's 2 or 3 in Fort Myers, 2 or 3 in Miami, 2 or 3 in Orlando, and 2 or 3 in West Palm, and that kind of thing. And a lot of them come down from, they come here from north and everywhere else. And they have it, they have this thing. Now, I can get the, you can get the name of the two magazines here
mm-hmm.
that go to wood carvers.
Yeah.
It was only yesterday. Now you talk about things happening.
Yeah.
It was only yesterday. There was no such thing as a magazine devoted to wood carving.
Yeah.
And now, my God, there's thousands of them all over the United States.
Yeah.
I just don't know how to say how many. Yeah, that's the only one I ever saw.
Yeah. grandkids that walk around there in their bare feet too, just like Grandpa. Now this here's the fro, huh?
That is a fro. And I kid you not, that was the most important tool in the United States for years.
Yes, sir, go ahead.
And
yes,
I was going to say it, you lay it on a piece of wood like
the edge of that, and then you hit it with the mallet.
Right. I hate to...
No, that's right. Don't do it. All right. Just let me get another shot. Excellent. Thank you, sir.
Like a dose, see? And you break that off like that. Uh-huh. And that's all the roots in the United States of America,
mm-hmm.
were at one time either this or slate.
Slate tile, sure. Yeah, I've seen that. Uh-huh. That's what they do in Greece still, up in the villages. And slate tile up there, it's not like you get here. I mean, that thing's like 2 inches thick in Greece, because they just get it right off the mountain. It's not like they don't got to like cut it down cheap or nothing or make
well,
it.
Well, there used to be places like that here in this country, mm-hmm. that you could get, that you could just pick it up.
Yeah.
But that was in the north. But where...
Now this pile of shingles here, are you letting these dry or you just...
No, I just got them. I got them and I got a roof over yonder that they need to go on. My son has never nailed on a shingle in his life and I thought he might like to nail on a shingle. Anyway, sooner or later, I plan to cover that roof over there.
Uh-huh.
With them, because or then again I might get busy and just say to hell with it.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
Now this right here, now want me to go get it, my draw knife and show you how it's done?
Yes, sir, I'd like to see how that all right works.
This is known as a draw horse. And every shingle on that house was made on that.
Draw horse.
I bet you didn't know that draw horse did it.
That run across. Yeah, that's why I kept asking if there was anybody who'd ever come down here before, because I'm sort of surprised given the. But then that's why they're sent. That's of course why they sent me. Because nobody's been down here as far as they know. I'm just sort of surprised nobody else just kind of came down, because your dad's been here since the 30s. So they've been looking for this kind of stuff since the WPA. First time they ever sent out guys as a group was in the WPA. It's any kind of organized way.
WPA?
It was the work... but, yeah, and what they did was they were... they put everybody back to work. So what they decided they were going to do was do like handbooks for every state and this kind of thing. And they did do one for Florida, which is why I'm saying. We'll look around here in the close to it. So now this...
Like a dose. And I've had piles of this stuff right there where you're standing just about as high as your head. You remember them, Tom?
Yep. Pretty good job, too.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
cut better when they're green. Anyway, what's the best done?
So then you can shape them any way you want. So you've got this
right
picture. Can I take a picture of you drawing it?
Yes, sir.
Whatever way it's normally goes.
All right, that's a pro.
That's a
pro and a draw. They both can be to him in well. You,
what you want, sir?
Together or not, it's decided.
Would they normally go together?
Bust your shingles off with a pro and you draw them and smooth them down.
Do one at a time now.
Absolutely. Well, anyway, those are two fundamental tools, not just in the state of Florida, but in the whole United States. And I've got three tools. Couldn't get along with that one.
Can you just sharpen your own, is that correct?
Oh, sure. I sharpen a knife, a pocket knife, so I can clip a hair. Did you hear what I said?
Yes, so
clip
sorry.
A hair. I mean, I can hold a hair like that and clip it in the air.
Did the men around here ever fight with knives?
Never knew of it. Well, I'll take it back out there.
It's not around here.
They'll do it today, though.
Today, anybody?
They do. Look at that, man. You're in your newspaper. Where you hang by a chain. But all of this, I don't think the lamp came. I don't know now, but I don't believe it came until after the knees were peeled. And I don't know, I cannot say when the first. By golly, we can say pretty dadgum close to it, because we've got a letter from the Forest Products Laboratory in Madison, Wisconsin, and I believe it's isn't it on display up in the museum.
I think it is.
I think the letter is up there in that under that glass, and they wrote back and said. Pass the mayonnaise.
Yes, sir.
And they wrote back and said that they believe that the most practicable method for getting the bark off of cypress knees would be to put them in the water near the boiling point for about, I believe, 2 hours or something like that, they said. I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
But that's how come. So it needs to be peeled.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They weren't peeled first. They were the flower vase, the flower wall vase, the flower
the flower hanger and the flower fountain were all made before probably the lamp came next. I wouldn't be surprised if it didn't. But I just don't have a vivid recollection of the lamp thing.
Mm-hmm. Now, at this time, of course, we feel that we're in the... This is about the 1930s, right? Somewhere around there.
Well, later. The whole thing began after we were married.
Have we feel the need for
the pond band? Oh, yeah.
We did. So that was, see, we moved out here in
37.
Oh, I see. November
37. So we had
peeled before then. We started in the late part of 1934.
We married that summer. They were peeled. I remember the little tin garage, and I remember when the first knees were peeled, and I laid them on. I had some chicken wire racks to lay them on, and
little legs on them so we could stack them up.
Right, and I came back out one time, and I looked at. And they got some spots on there. And I says, rub the spots off. And then I came back out the next day, and I says, well, my golly, I thought I wiped all that over there. What is that? I didn't know what it was. It's mildew.
Huh.
Mold, and that's what mold, there's more trouble with mold drying the cypress knee.
That knee you got this morning from that man,
it's
got mold
on it. But he didn't, did he say he cooked it?
Yeah, he did. Well, he cooked half of it at one time.
Yeah, I believe that's right. I forgot. But anyway, that's what puts more people out of business, out of the cypress knee business than anything else. And
mold? Mold, you say?
Mold. You see? Cypress lumber an inch thick, supposed to lay in the lumber yard 2 years to season. Now you can cut a knee today, and if you don't put that hole in there, you can bore in there 6 months or a year later and that wood's still wet, and that keeps coming out, and the mold just lives off that moisture and what's in the knee. I don't know what all would come out of the wood, but anyway.
Yeah. Or so the rice in the water, whatever's in there, that's right.
So you cannot operate a cypress knee business. But as I say, I could not, I never have been able to operate without putting that hole in there. Mm-hmm. And I was late learning that. I tell you, man, I want you to know it was rough to see a hole. A bunch of beautiful knees just turning blacker than that floor there with mildew.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what puts people out of business.
Well, when do you think that you've, of course, you're always growing, you're always changing with your business, but when do you think you had your basic pattern down that you knew from that point on you were, in other words, you'd solve the major problems, which was like, you know, mildew or fine tools?
Well, it was a gradual thing. I tried for instance, we ain't through with it, but we're pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
For years, I wanted to put a finish on a cypress knee that you couldn't see. Now, I wrote to every paint outfit in the United States and asked them if they had something that would protect the wood,
mm-hmm.
but would sink in such that you couldn't see it. We wouldn't shine it. I didn't like the shine. People, from the beginning, Tom, Dick, and Harry did not like the shine that some people would put on their varnished knees, and they look hideous.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted something
clear
that would go in the wood and protect it and wouldn't shine. And the Old Cedar Company wrote us a letter, and they were kind of derisive of me, thought I was as if I was nuts to think that you could put something, have a finish on there that you couldn't see. No such thing. And but they sent me a sample of the Old Cedar, and I don't remember, anyway, I don't use it. But finally, after so many years, I figured one out for myself, and I have one now.
Your own formulation?
Yes. Well, I hired a...
Let me see where the sorry meat disappears.
Well, yeah, that's good. You just go right ahead. All I got to do is just cook a little early, that's all. But that it is good to eat, isn't it?
So absolutely.
I never get tired of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I have been to no doctor. I cannot tell you, except for two broke toes, a busted gut, and wax in the ears. Now, I'm not talking about things like that. You can cut your left foot off. I'm talking about from being sick.
Internally.
I've been to no doctor, except when I drank that quart of gooked water since before 1969, and how far before 69, I don't know. But I used the 69 date because that was when I hired a consulting chemist, and at that time he sent me 12 or 13 or 14 or something different plastics and for me to experiment with. And I tried this and that and the other, and one of them is this that I showed you just then, and I'll hand you a piece of this, and you can don't let me forget.
All right.
But you can keep this, and you can put that in your mouth, you can put it on a cut, it'll be with you for years, and good for you. You don't throw that away.
Mm-hmm.
You can wash it off, like you can wash a piece of metal off. It's polyvinyl butyrol is what it is, polyvinyl butyrol and coal tar crystal. I hired a consulting chemist. Mason Fenwick and Lawrence was the name of the company, but in the company they had various lawyers that had various specialties, and this particular one had a specialty that sort of a chemical specialty, and then he left them, but I stayed with him. And he, worked with this some, and then one time, he tried to get me, he pretended to try to get me a patent on this, pretended. And, funny things began to happen. And one afternoon, I got a phone call from him. I think it was a Saturday, and it was about mid-afternoon or something like that, 3 o'clock, something like that. And I must have talked with that man for 3 or 4 hours. And he says, "You got a family, you got a business, you're just getting along fine. Now, what do you want to get mixed up in a thing like this for?" And that went on and on and on all afternoon, him trying to get me out of this business. And I wrote and sent a copy a piece of some of this to Sloan Kettering. You've heard of Sloan Kettering?
I'm sorry, him.
They are perhaps the top pharmaceutical bunch of people, multi-millionaires.
Would you like some coffee?
In the United States. And I...
That's my one bad habit. I'd get more, but I can't remember them all. You know, I can't handle coffee drinking, though I can remember. I'm sorry.
Wait a minute now. That's my trouble now. Where was I?
You sent a sample of this material to this...
Yeah. I got mixed up with my lawyer. And they wrote back the nicest letter a man could receive, that we are going to, we thank you for sending the material to us, and we will assign a doctor to study it, and so on and so forth. I have the letter.
Yes, sir.
I have every letter that's ever been mailed to me, and a copy of every one I have ever written.
That's excellent. Yeah.
I'll show them to you shortly. And 2 years went by. Mm-hmm. Now this has cured cancer.
Huh.
It has cured cancer. I'll tell you that one in a minute. Whatever. I don't know how many internal cancers, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I'll tell you this story in a minute. But my brother-in-law was dying. And I like to play ball with, I grew up wanting to play ball with the doctors. That's their business, you know, they're specialists and so forth. And I respect efficiency.
That's right.
And the doctors are supposed to be efficient in a medical way. So, my brother-in-law was dying, so I thought that by 2 years they ought to have learned something about this stuff that I had sent to them, and that they were real glad to get and were going to assign to a doctor. Well, so I wrote them and told them and asked if they couldn't maybe work through the doctor that my brother-in-law had in Tampa, and maybe use the creosote to help him out because he was dying of cancer.
Yeah.
And I got back the silliest, damn, nuttiest, craziest letter you ever saw in your life, and I've got the letter. I've got the letter. And, of course, nobody like that can imagine a man like me having both letters, but I got them, and I got every other letter I ever got. Anyway, heck
yeah. Yeah, I know. I'm trying not to.
No.
It's really good stuff. I can see why your grandchildren get in the way over here. I completely agree with them. I can see why this is really outstanding.
Great coffee.
It's addictive.
Yeah, I know. You know, I'm just sitting here and it's a little piece of it. Well, that's my last one. Then a little piece of
it. Break it like that. It's cheaper.
I'll tell you, I was sitting over at his house one evening and somebody had given them for Christmas a round can of what they thought was fruitcake. She even wrote and thanked people for sending the fruitcake. And they didn't open it right away. They got around to open it last week, and it was pistachio nuts. Yeah, it's always a hard word. You and I sat there and ate those things. You know, they're cracked open.
Yeah, sorry.
And you just peel and open them with your hands. I said, gosh, these things are like peanuts. You know, you start eating one, and you just have to keep on and on and on. I said, we could eat up the whole thing.
Well, a great many people are jealous of their prerogatives. I guess I am too, if it's mine. But the doctors, boy, they got it bad. Anyway, that was the end of that. Now, and my brother-in-law died. Now, I advertised in the Fort Myers paper and the Miami Herald and offered to cure athlete's foot for anybody that would write me. And I sent him a piece of this book. And lots of them wanted more, and it worked. I never heard anything from anybody that it wasn't jammed up and jammed tight. But the word began to get out. One time a lady came here who, the doctor said, was supposed to have been dead with cancer 3 years previous. She had a sore in her mouth that had been there for over a year, and no doctor had been able to do anything with it. They heard about me and this stuff, curing cancer. She and her husband came here, and I gave her a little piece. She went back home. They came back about 6 or 7 days later. The sore in her mouth had gone.
Huh. Yeah, that is amazing.
She just looked me straight in the eye, and I never saw anybody look at me in my life like she did. She just thought I was something. I never had nobody look at me like that. Then she pulled off her cloth cap she was wearing. And there in the middle of her head was a toadstool, this big around.
My God.
About that high.
My God.
Up through the hair.
Yeah. Jeez.
I never saw anything like that before in all of my life.
No, I never even heard of that. I never did. Oh, in Africa sometimes, when they, have you ever heard the story of the Jew horns? They would say that the, in the old days, in the medieval times, the prejudice was that the way you could tell a Jew was because he had horns on his head.
No,
and there's a skin disease where sometimes you grow, like, it comes out of your head, you know? And I'm trying to think what it is, because I saw it in a book, you know, I got my degree in anthropology, and I remember reading something about this. And they made it similar to Jew's horns, and I had heard about Jew's horns because, again, from anthropology, physical anthropology. I'm sorry, go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt.
That's all right. I'm interested to hear. I never heard of it.
Yeah, well, they showed pictures of black women in Africa, and they were shown the diseases that they had, and the reasons they were doing that was they were shown like carvings that the African people have. And then they were talking about, well, it wasn't all fancy, you know, and the point of the story was is that they were talking about, you know, we try to guess sometimes. You find an object, you know, on the ground, like archaeology. And basically what you're doing is you're trying the best way you can to guess what that thing did or what that was all about. So a lot of times if the thing looks weird, then they're saying, well, it had to do about art or it's a magical thing or something like that. And part of this article was talking about sometimes you can have a sickness in Africa where parts of your body will swell. So sometimes the African woman will have breasts that are beyond what any human person could actually have because of a, you know, this disease. It's about, it, you don't get rid of the water in your body, apparently. And her buttocks can become very big. And it's sort of like, it's not elephantitis, you know, but they did have examples of elephantitis in there, which is essentially the fluids don't leave your body. So that's what builds up and stuff. And the point of that story, the point of that article was about the... how these different diseases then, well, if they were always around, you know, then this may in point of fact have been what these early statues were about, and they weren't a ritual thing, or they weren't like a, you know, they might have been, what they used to do, what they think was, that men would make, carve things or make things out of stone, like what your sickness is. Let's say you have a bad foot. So they'll make the exact thing of Tom, Gaskins, but they'll make his foot be like his illness, and then they'll take this effigy or this statue thing, they'll bury it, they'll destroy it, whatever
it's
called, beat or something, you know, like a frenzy thing. And then they'll get rid, then that will get rid of the disease, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So then what they were arguing was, well, now look, you know, in present day societies, and that's what they were doing, you know, like these were contemporary photographs, these weren't like from, you know, the 20s or something, that these women and men have these kind of sicknesses, and that we should, you know, think about what was going on rather than, you know, make things up was the idea of the article. But it did show clear-cut photographs, black and white, right there in front of you. They had, like, obtrusions growing out of their heads. And, I mean, you know, they didn't look like horns to me, but, you know, they had probably different cases. The people were different, you know, came out in different ways. And,
different people see things different
way. That's right. And then, you know, you don't see someone you're, you know, like if you were telling me a story that you saw when you were a boy, and you're trying...